Hi, and welcome to another episode of Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, both big and small. I'm Emily, and today we are talking to a very special guest. My sister, Marianne Williams, is joining us on the podcast, so we're very excited to have her. Welcome, Marianne.
Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Yeah, so back, I guess, kind of in my intro to this podcast, I did a shout-out to Marianne, or like, I kind of mentioned her because she was one of the people who, or she was the person, I guess, kind of in my life who had been living like a low-waste, plastic-free lifestyle for a really long time, and I'm not gonna lie, at first I thought she was like totally crazy.
Completely nuts.
But as I learn more about it, she's been like one of the best resources, I guess, to help share what she's learned along the way. And I wanted to have her on the podcast, and I think that we'll probably have her on a couple times to just talk about some of like the trials and tribulations and really
and
some
there
of the
have been so many trials, so many tribulations.
Yeah. So we really wanted to just kind of have a conversation and just talk about some of the absolutely hilarious things that have happened to both her and I while living this kind of trying to pursue this lifestyle and share those with our listeners. So welcome, Marianne. Can you just tell us a little bit, I guess, about like how you got started into pursuing this, or like where this passion came from?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm a librarian actually in my job. So I don't really do a lot with kind of eco and waste management or anything, but it's definitely something I've been interested in for quite a long time. I think that I probably got really interested in zero waste and low waste initiatives when I was a grad student, I think is when I really started getting into it. So that was maybe like about 6 years ago.
Yeah. And that's kind of when I remember you kind of taking it on a little bit more seriously, I guess.
But yeah, I mean, I've always been a very militant recycler.
And yeah, we grew up in a household where like we sorted our recycling. Like,
yeah, like that was a big part.
We were devoted devout, to recycling.
Devout recyclers. And I've been vegetarian for, you know, about 15 years. I wouldn't say that that was always really like an ecological concern or something of mine, but you know, I think we care about the environment. That's been one of the values that our parents raised us with for sure. But yeah, I kind of came across zero waste, I guess, through, you know, just trying to be more mindful of my consumption in general.
Mm-hmm.
And also just the frugal movement. That's, I feel silly even saying.
Yeah, I guess you were a grad student, so you were like broke as hell.
Well, yeah, I was like super broke, living on like no money a year. But yeah, so actually that kind of brings me to my first zero waste fail. So I was, you know, I'm a grad student. I lived in downtown Toronto. I had roommates and I was just really, you know, I was concerned about the environment and was trying to think about ways of being a mindful consumer. I don't know. I think I must have looked up something about that online and I found Bea Johnson's book, Zero Waste Home.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really before hashtag zero waste on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, this was like pre zero waste popularity.
Back in the olden days of 2014 or 13 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? No, this, it must have been earlier than that. This must have been 2012 because this was before grad school that I read that book, because I have a very distinct memory that I'll share later. But yeah, so I'm interested in the environment. I'm interested in like being a mindful consumer. And, mm-hmm. doing more
you were also a student.
Yeah, also a student living on like 45 cents a day or something. And yeah, zero waste, as it finds many people in like a desperate situation, it found me. But I probably found this stuff in 2010 or 2011, if I'm thinking.
Yeah, it was pretty timeline. Like, basically, you've been kind of pursuing this lifestyle for a while, and a little bit before, I would say, it was like a popular movement.
Yeah. So my first like fail that I did was I read Bea Johnson's book, Zero Waste mm-hmm. Home. And I loved it. I thought it was really cool. And I just thought, like, this is amazing. She, you know, she was sort of the first person to popularize the idea of fitting all of your waste into a single jar.
Yeah, like the jar thing.
Which has now become like a meme.
That's itself. Like a thing. Yeah. And then I think about it, I'm like, oh my God. Like there have definitely been points in my, like, you know, switch to a low waste lifestyle where I'm like, one day I'll be able to fit all of my garbage in a jar for a year. And I'm like, maybe like starting there isn't like the most appropriate goal. But yeah, anyways. So
so I don't know. I was sort of interested in this. And I mean, I was already buying all my stuff secondhand and really not spending a lot of money on day-to-day things. Mm-hmm. So I was already kind of zero waste to begin with. I didn't have a car at that time.
Yeah, because you were living in downtown, like you walked everywhere. And this had also kind of been your lifestyle. I don't know. You'd kind of, since you moved out of our, you know, home that we were raised
in. Off the farm.
Yeah, off the farm. you were always a student, or you were always...
I lived inexpensively mm-hmm. in kind of like group settings. So I had roommates and stuff. And one thing actually that even when I was in my undergrad, one thing that really troubled me was really how much garbage my household would produce. You know, sometimes like I lived with two other people, sometimes with like five other people. And that was something I think that I thought about at that time. And I've never really been a big fan of plastic and just the amount of garbage that creates. So I think coming to the zero waste movement through Bea Johnson was how a lot of people get into it. So I read that book.
Yeah, and a bit of a natural progression. Mm-hmm. You read her book.
I read that book and then I went out and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get an even smaller jar. And like
you're the, like I don't know, the mason just... jar, the quart sized mason jar is too easy.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna fit all my waste in a baby food jar.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, yeah, I went out, I'm sure I spent a ton of money on
all of these jars. Like yeah, on all of these things that you think that you need.
Yeah, I remember at that time, you know, the wooden toothbrushes were not widely available in North America. Uh-huh. I think I imported, oh, this is embarrassing to think about. I imported some from like Australia.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is how I do it. These are compostable. Yeah, and you're like, now you're like, wait a second.
I remember I got these wooden toothbrushes like shipped to me from a company in Australia and they showed up and they had like, you know, Chinese postage.
Yeah, they literally had gone around the world.
You know, my roommates were like, yeah, really saving the world there, Marianne.
Yeah, you're like, well.
So yeah, my first mistake was really taking stuff from Bea Johnson and like following it to the letter instead of really looking at my own lifestyle and figuring out what would actually work for me. So
yeah, you know, Bea Johnson, which is such a big part of it, right? Like it's so individualized.
Yeah, she is a mom of four and she lives in California. So she has access to like in-season local produce all year round. And, you know, she had a car. That was the other thing, is that a lot of her zero waste practices really depend on having access to a car. And as I'll get to later, I did not have a car. So I was like riding my bike to, you know, this bulk grocery store. And one time I filled up a glass jar of almond butter.
Oh no.
I mean, you can see where this is going. Yeah. I put this glass jar of almond butter in my backpack along with all my other groceries that are just loose in there. You know, I didn't use plastic bags or anything. And of course,
Home. And Marianne, just for like, this is just like something that only her sister would know, but this Marianne can pack a bag fuller than you have ever seen in your life. Like she has traveled across countries with just a backpack and it's like Mary Poppins bag. Like, you're like how much stuff did you fit in there? And it's, yeah, none of it's plastic. None of it collapses. She's just stuffs it in. So I can only imagine.
This is also the thing. Like I never took plastic bags, even before I found Bid Johnson or whatever. I never used plastic bags. And actually one of my rules when I would go grocery shopping, this is funny to think about now, but I wouldn't take a basket because, because if I literally would like, just,
I don't use plastic,
grab what I could hold because, and I'll explain why, because I didn't have a car. So I was carrying my groceries.
Oh, okay.
And I never wanted to get more groceries than I could carry.
Okay. That makes sense. Cause I was like, is this like another, like, I can't use, I'm not using plastic at all. So I'm not even going to use the plastic baskets at the grocery store, but that makes sense. It's like a functional way of grocery shopping to not overwhelm
yourself. Sort of functional, because I'd be like, oh, I can't get more than one apple because I can't carry.
And I can't put it
down
in
the aisles
bag.
Of the grocery store. Anyway, yeah. So I got home. Obviously, this almond butter has, like, the jar cracked and destroyed everything.
Just like almond butter on everything. Oh my gosh.
And it took me a long time, actually, to learn that a lot of the stuff that Bea Johnson talks about in her book is just, it's not, you don't have to implement it into your life if it doesn't work. And for me, I didn't drive a car. So, and she did. So thinking about your whole impact on the environment, maybe because I didn't drive a car, I maybe could have used one plastic bag at the grocery store.
So that you could carry some things.
Yeah. I was super, super militant about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, another thing is I got into, and I'm embarrassed of this now, but I got into fights with my roommates about recycling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My dear best friend from college, Stas, you know, I would like really chastise him if he threw away a can or something.
Right.
And to be honest, that is just not, that's not the way to change minds. Like, thankfully, like
you guys are still friends.
Like, our listeners
don't have to worry. Like, their friendship didn't end.
We talk. Actually, he's the one that I consulted about some of these zero waste fails because he remembers some that I had forgotten because we were roommates.
Oh my gosh, I bet. Yeah, because you guys have been friends for so long.
We've been friends for a really long time. So, I mean, I think now with the popularity of zero waste, I think he sees where I'm coming from a little bit more. But at the time,
he's kind of like me.
Completely
cuckoo bananas, as we like to say. Yeah.
And yeah, that was the other thing is like, yeah, I remember one time so Stas is Russian for the record, but he had bought a can
of
caviar.
Background information, I guess.
Uh-huh. Well, because I feel like caviar isn't something that most Canadians would buy, but caviar is a pretty regular part
yeah,
of Stas's
like
diet.
Isn't he a student as well? Like, wasn't he also
you know, there's different grades. There's like super fancy caviar. And then there's kind of like budget caviar. I think he was eating budget caviar.
But caviar nonetheless. Yeah. Okay.
I would really lay into him because, you know, there was these caviar cans in the garbage. And I'd be like, you can recycle these. And I knew that they were his too. There was nobody else in our house eating caviar.
Who else is eating caviar?
But, you know, now I think like that was just ridiculous. Like, let people eat their caviar. Like, you know.
Sorry, and this caviar is just.
As
let
Biz
people
says,
eat their caviar. Please.
As Biz says, recycling is not really, you know, it's good. Like, it's good that people are doing it, but it's not the be all and end all. So I've really like from years and years of trying to fit all of my garbage into a mason jar, I've learned, you know, there's some things that are just not practical for me.
And like, it's totally individual, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's such an individual journey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's that saying that it's not about a few people doing zero waste perfectly. Like, it's about lots of people doing it imperfectly and just like doing their best and doing what fits for their lifestyle.
Yeah. And I like, as I'm going, I'll share with you in this list, like I made some really dumb purchases that ended up being either like a total waste of money or just like a really dumb idea that like maybe like, well, the first thing to maybe note is like Bae Johnson, she has a family, right? So she's buying stuff in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
Her family is, I think she has two teenage boys or did when she was writing that book.
Yeah. I don't think they're still teenagers. Like, no, I think they're adults now,
I guess. But, you know, she was buying, when she buys in bulk, her family's going to go through that a lot faster than
compared to one person,
a single grad student. And so like, that's where a lot of my fails came from, was buying ridiculous amounts of bulk, like to the extent that it would have taken me like years to get through things. The thing is, it wasn't actually zero waste if I end up buying stuff in huge quantities that I can't get through.
Yeah.
But it took me a while to learn that.
To figure that out.
I'll start with that. So yeah, buying way too much in bulk was another zero waste fail.
Okay. So can you give us some examples, please? Please. Okay. I'm dying to know of some things, because I feel like this came up a lot. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, it's
so what honestly, are some examples?
It's still kind of a problem I have, but I've gotten a little bit better about it. So in an effort to reduce my plastic, I rarely, if ever, buy single portions of things. And mm-hmm. I even rarely buy like small, I really try and avoid packaging as much as I can. Mm-hmm. So I buy a lot of stuff in bulk. But one thing, and I think a lot of, again, when I started doing this, this was probably 2011, 2012, it was really hard to find liquids in bulk in Toronto for a while. Yeah,
which is still like, I think, one of the more challenging things to find. Maybe not in like larger centers, but
yeah. Well, and definitely. You know what? The other thing is, to buy liquids in bulk, you really have to have a car. It doesn't really work on your bike.
It's a little tricky on your bike.
You know, maybe some like, people have figured it out, but
yeah.
So one of the things that I did in liquid form that I did buy a lot of at that time was vinegar.
So, yeah, because you use vinegar for everything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Everything. And that will bring us to our next thing, or my next story. But yeah, vinegar. So I like, yeah, 2010, I'm living in downtown Toronto. I'm using vinegar literally for everything. I was using it like Windex in my big fat Greek wedding. I was like using it to clean my house. I was using it to wash my hair.
Oh, yeah. I actually remember, I feel like visiting you or something and just being like, is there a faint smell of vinegar? Like, like you would walk in your house and you'd be like, okay. Like, you know, it wasn't unpleasant, but it was present.
Oh yeah. So I'll get into that too. But yeah, so I was using like, I was going through vinegar and like, apparently I was really troubled by the 5-gallon buckets of vinegar that I was buying at like this food store in Kensington. I was like, in Kensington Market.
You were buying a 5-gallon bucket of vinegar.
But I was like, that's too much plastic. I need to get like a bigger container.
A bigger vat, because 5 gallons was not enough. Did you have to carry this? Like,
no. So this is where it gets ridiculous. So I specially ordered, I called a green cleaning supply store in East Toronto. Okay. And I got them to like, because they don't really...
They don't really sell to individuals. They're like a distributor of vinegar.
Yeah, somehow I convinced them to sell me like a 25-gallon drum of industrial vinegar.
Hey, is this when you were living in downtown Toronto in like the tiniest apartment with three other people?
Oh my gosh.
Your kitchen was like also your living room.
Yeah, I lived in like my bedroom was like 250 square feet, but for some reason I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get this industrial drum of vinegar. So I got like an Uber or something, or maybe even a taxi at the time, and I like went to East Toronto, put this like gallon drum, this huge drum of vinegar in my car, in this taxi, and like rolled
like
it
a
up
barrel.
The stairs.
Like you got a barrel of vinegar.
And then Emily, the worst part.
Okay.
Did you store it?
How did you get it up the stairs?
I don't know. I must have had someone help me. I couldn't remember.
One of your roommates It's probably like one of your roommates, and they're like, what is Stas. This? And you're like, it's just a barrel of vinegar. Don't worry about it.
But then the worst part is I get it into the house and it's not just like regular. Okay, so regular people vinegar that you would get at the grocery store is like 3% acetic acid.
Yeah, because there's different kinds of vinegar. Oh, no.
The industrial stuff that I got was like 15% acetic acid. So you can't even drink, like, you can't, it's not food safe. And so you just use like a little cup of it and then dilute it with water.
Right.
And use that. So,
but is not, can you make it food safe? Like, can you dilute it? Or were you like, I mean, you're no chemist.
I'm pretty sure there was some stickers that were like not for human consumption.
Not food safe.
You're on like, this. Mm. So like, yeah. Anyway, I don't know what I was thinking, but I got this like super vinegar that honestly would have last, if you had like a 10,000 square foot house, this barrel would have lasted you like 20 years. It was like super concentrated vinegar. Uh-huh. Like what was I cleaning? My 250 square foot bedroom.
Yeah. Like, kitchen. And like using it as a hair rinse, but no,
it was too concentrated for that. Anyway. So eventually I did, oh my gosh, what happened here? So I did like really amp up my usage of vinegar, but then our house just like smelled like the inside of a pickle. And I started like giving it away to people.
You were like,
to like my friends, I would be
vinegar.
Like, this is like, I would
all
fill
of Kensington in Toronto.
I would fill up like,
you were their new vinegar supplier,
glass bottles. Like, I would buy juice and probably dump out the juice just so I could fill it up with industrial vinegar and give it to people. Anyway, it was just like,
to clarify to our listeners, we are not recommending this. This is a definite fail.
Terrible idea. It was totally stupid. And then, of course, like when I moved away from Toronto.
Yeah, you didn't live in Toronto for 20 years like that.
And
vinegar would have lasted you.
I put this vinegar, Emily, into storage. So when I like came back to get my stuff, I had like, you know, a box of my grad school textbooks or whatever, and this barrel of industrial vinegar.
But oh my god!
Eventually, oh my god, I have to really credit my friends. I did manage to give enough away, but I had to be really careful to be like, don't drink this.
This isn't regular vinegar.
You have to use this
is
to clean.
Industrial grade vinegar.
Yeah, it was just completely ridiculous. And even now I have a car, and you know, I
the have first a- thing you did when you got a car was buy a barrel of vinegar. Just kidding.
Oh god. Anyway, I learned my lesson on that one. Don't do that. That was really silly. And I don't know what I was thinking, but skip the industrial size vinegar. That is
buying in industrial bulk may not be the best zero waste choice.
No. And it, you know what? I'm sure that there are still juice bottles that are filled with this like hyper acetic acid.
Oh my God.
Industrial vinegar that are still sitting in my like friend's like underneath their sink, and they're like scared to use it because they're like, yeah, Marianne gave me this stuff and she told me it wasn't like
all because vinegar. Marianne was like, I don't want to buy the 5-gallon bucket.
I know. I'm so embarrassed about it.
That is fat. That's a great story, Marianne.
So don't do that. Don't do stuff like that. Like,
yeah, well, and I think it's so interesting because, like, I think kind of going back to, you know, the things that you buy, or like you went and bought all of those glass jars, and like, you know, you like tried to fit your low waste lifestyle to like what you had read and like following it to a T and all that kind of stuff. And for me, one of the things that I bought when I kind of started like going low waste is, and this was the stupidest thing that I ever bought, I think, still to this day, was one of those tongue scrapers. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have one. I use mine. I love mine.
Well, and I think that like for some people, like that's great. But so when I was going zero waste, I remember distinctly seeing this like Instagram post that was like things that you need to go zero waste because like these are the essentials or whatever.
Well, think of all the disposable tongue scrapers that you
Yeah, saved. I've never used a tongue scraper in my life. Not once.
And also, I think toothbrushes do that job, but
yeah, well, and I think it was kind of like a combination of things because I remember I do have a friend who her mom is a dental hygienist. And for some reason we were like, I don't know. This is like a few years ago, but I was like staying over at her house or something. And she had a tongue scraper and she's like, oh yeah, like my mom recommended this, like the dentist or whatever that she works with recommends them. And so I think it was a combination of that and then like this Instagram post being like, this is what you need to go zero waste because or else you're gonna have like horrible breath. I don't know where I got this idea from. Anyway, yeah. So I still have this tongue scraper. It's in my cabinet. I've probably used it like a handful of times. And I've just never really felt like I needed to use it. Like maybe if someone was like, Emily, your breath smells terrible. But that's just never really happened to me. So I just think it's funny that, yeah, that was kind of like my zero waste. Like I smack my forehead now because, yeah, for some people, like for you, you use your tongue scraper and it's great. But I'm like, why I spent like, I don't know, $15 like plus shipping or whatever for this tongue scraper that's literally just going to sit in my cabinet. Like this makes no sense. Like,
yeah,
this is ridiculous.
I'm with you. And then like the other thing with the glass jars is honestly pickle jars, jam jars, pasta sauce jars, like It's not like there's a shortage of glass jars out there, but
yeah,
they're, you know, not this like uniform, beautiful, you know, quote unquote minimalist home display.
Yeah. Like you like see the Instagram posts of people, oh, my like zero waste kitchen. They have all of these, you know, perfect, beautiful jars and everything's all kind of lined up. And the reality is that like, yeah, you can reuse your pasta sauce jars or, you know, like you don't actually need to go out and like seek these things.
So for me, when I started doing this, I wasn't even buying pasta sauce and stuff like that. Like I was really making everything. But my friends, I had so many friends in Toronto who I'm sure if I had asked them to save their recycling and give
and
it to me.
And you had roommates. Like you also had roommates that were like, you know, buying things in containers that you could have just used. Like no problem.
Yeah. So I did eventually start doing that instead. Like I would just ask people to save me their jars and I kind of became like the jar lady amongst my friends. So people would give me stuff. And
they'd
then
like, Marianne wants your recycling for some reason. We're not really sure.
Yeah. You know, that's like the best way to start. And that's like truly, you know, actually zero waste. And then
like using what you have, being resourceful. Like it's impossible to 100% change your lifestyle and just like, oh, tomorrow I'm going to be zero waste. And that's just like not really reality.
Well, and the thing is, I think the biggest mistake I made, at least at first, was looking to somebody like Bea Johnson, this like, you know, middle class California French American mom, and not to our zero waste OG queen, Aunt Ruth. So for the listeners,
yeah,
Aunt
sorry
Ruth,
guys, this isn't a character that you guys are familiar with.
This is a deep cut here. So Emily and I grew up on a farm in rural Alberta, and our surrogate grandmother, our neighbor, who is a very good family friend to this day, was this woman, Ruth Bowman, and she grew up in rural Alberta during the Depression. She didn't grow up with garbage. And
yeah, she was like incredibly resourceful.
Yeah, she said, you know, like they would stuff their potato sacks and use those as mattresses. And she said that they never threw anything out. They didn't have any garbage.
Yeah, they just didn't have garbage. And like even, you know, of course, food scraps and things like that, you know, they like fed their animals with. And like there was, they had the original circular economy.
I can bet you to this day, Aunt Ruth has never recycled an ice cream pail. I'm sure every single ice cream pail she's ever came across is filled with gingerbread cookies.
I was going to say filled
right
with baking in her freezer and maybe recycled once she gave it to someone else. But like, that's the only reason. Yeah.
And so, yeah. So anyway, but I think my biggest takeaway is really, I should have looked to what Aunt Ruth was doing as a model for what I should do rather than, you know, these Instagram influencers or somebody who's coming out with a book about zero waste. Because I know that, you know, what someone like Aunt Ruth is doing, she's been doing that for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And it's like functional and it makes sense for Alberta. And, you know, she is not wasteful at all. And that's like really who I should be looking to for zero waste practices rather than, you know, going out and buying tongue scrapers and
right, tongue scrapers and like jars. All these, yeah, brand new glass jars
and like
and trying to fit your life into this, like, oh, like I'm gonna be this, like, I, you know, idea of zero waste that we have, which like seems to be very like clean and crisp and I don't know, Instagram worthy, I guess. But the reality is that like zero waste isn't really like that. Like that's not what it's about.
Yeah. And zero waste, I mean, in some ways it's been kind of co-opted by influencers, which is really just a fancy way of saying people who want to sell you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
like people who make tongue scrapers and then have influencers put them on, you need these top 9 items to become zero waste. That's how they get you.
So definitely my best advice is roll your eyes when you can and think about things really critically and think like, hey, what did my grandma do? What would people in the Depression have done? And think about, you know, what things were like before garbage. And there was a time before garbage.
There was a time. Yes, you're right.
So, you know, I think about that and that is where I have now based my zero waste practice. I'm definitely not zero waste right now. And my waste does not fit in a jar or whatever, but looking to those around you for their advice on how to live consciously and with very little waste and ignoring the Instagram stuff. That's really good advice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Marianne, I think we'll wrap that up for here. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. We are going to have Marianne come back a few times and talk about some of her hilarious zero waste fails so that hopefully you guys who are listening don't have to go through carrying a barrel of vinegar up a huge flight of stairs in your apartment and try and give it to your friends. Anyways, so thank you guys all so much for listening. If you guys have any feedback or you'd love to share something with us, please send us an email at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at becominglesspod. And we encourage you to head over to becominglesspod.podbean.com for all the ways to connect and listen to us and to donate to support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta. I also just want to give a quick shout out to Change Toothpaste Tabs, who have been sponsoring our podcast, which we're really excited about. So thanks to them. Go check them out. We hope that you guys come back next time and remember that every day we can be a little less than we were yesterday. It's just a barrel of vinegar.